my message for you guys tonight, it is going to be powerful, amen, because we're talking about a subject that every single Christian needs to hear and needs to be on purpose about. Say, on purpose. I need to get this in someone's spirit, that we need to be on purpose about tonight's subject. And the subject I'm going to talk about tonight is for the mature. It's for the mature Christian. And I don't want that to freak anyone out, because if you're watching online right now and you say, well, Shayla, I'm a baby Christian, or I'm new to Christianity, or I've only been saved a year, like, should I? No, you're going to mature a little bit more tonight, amen? So this is for the mature Christian, and this is for the person who you want to mature. If you don't want to mature, if you're like your comfortable Christianity and you don't want to be stretched, I go ahead and log off right now. But if you want to be stretched, if you want to be matured, if you want to grow up spiritually, if you want to be encouraged and pushed, if you want a personal trainer right now in the spirit, a personal trainer, that people pay hundreds of dollars for personal training, and that weirds me out. I'm like, I don't even like to work out. You want me to work out and then pay someone money to tell me how to work out? I hate that. No way, because I'm not someone who wants to really be buffs, you know. I also don't want to be one of those people who is bodybuilding. That's just not me. I don't want to be a bodybuilder, and I definitely don't want to pay someone hundreds of dollars to train me physically, you know. I don't want that. This is what that is right now in the spiritual. This is a spiritual personal training right now. And if that's not you, go ahead and log out. It's okay. Physically, I don't want to pay a personal trainer money, but spiritually I would. Amen. I've invested in myself spiritually by listening to teaching on this, getting myself sharpened up on this subject. And so tonight we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about what it looks like to be a Christian and to operate in the spirit. Amen. And the crazy thing is that when we talk about spiritual warfare, even in the church, that can kind of sound like a little bit taboo. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But spiritual warfare is not taboo. Spiritual warfare, I grew up in the Pentecostal church. I grew up in a church that was pretty Pentecostal. You know, we like our tambourine ladies. We like the ribbons. You know, we love doing a victory circle. We love doing the firewall. We love speaking in tongues. We love all those things. And I love that. That's part of my culture and me growing up in that. And I love it. But in that culture, I'm not going to lie, I kind of had this perception that spiritual warfare is like a heavy drum beat, like dun, 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 dun. And you go ahead and you start doing a little dance, and you get out the ribbon, and you start twirling the ribbon. We had ribbon on Sunday, did we not? We had ribbon on Sunday. And that kind of convinced me in my mind growing up in the Pentecostal church that spiritual warfare is when you get a dun 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 dun, 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 like a good drum beat of a worship song, and you start doing a little jig, and you get out the ribbon, and you start shun da da ba da da ba da, and you start going for it. That's what spiritual warfare is in a lot of people's minds. But spiritual warfare is not a drum beat song. It's not a twirling of the ribbon. It's not even just doing a shandaraba in the middle of a service. That's not what it is. Spiritual warfare, I truly believe after studying this out, spiritual warfare is a worldview. It is where you choose to no longer see things as physical only. I go to work every day. I wake up 9 to 5. I work, you know, I eat, I sleep, and I am also consumed with my physical world that I cannot see the spiritual realm and the spiritual world around me. I'm surrounded by demons at work. I have people oppressing me in the spirit, and I'm not even aware of it because I'm so focused in the physical. If this sounds taboo to you, let me try to explain. There are two kingdoms. Now, in the physical world, there is lots of different parties. You know, you could be a Democrat, you could be Republican, you could be independent, you can line up with different religions, you can be a New Ager, you can be Christian, and then in Christianity, there's a ton of different sects of Christianity, and then you could be Catholic, which is an offshoot of that, and then you can be so many different parties and different groups in the physical. But in the spiritual realm, there is only two kingdoms, two. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. There's the devil, and there's God, and that's it. And there's no in-between. There's no gray. In the physical, there seems like there's a lot of gray. But in the spiritual, let's make it clear, there is only light and darkness, and the two cannot intermingle. Now, the light can intercept the darkness, amen? But there is no gray area. And as Christians, we need to get a hold of this. We are living in a kingdom of darkness. We are living in a dark world. Can I get my first scripture up? The first scripture that I want to turn to is where it's going to show us that the enemy is alive and his job is to bring evil into this world. There's scripture that says that the enemy is the prince of this world. He is the ruler of this world. A lot of the times we can forget because we like going to Disneyland and we like all the fun in life. Life can be fun, but let us not forget in the midst of everything that's going on around us, we are living in a battlefield. We are living in the middle of darkness, in a dark age, in a dark time, and the world is being ruled by the devil, Christians. It is being ruled by the devil, and it is up to us to bring heaven onto earth. Heaven onto earth. We are the conduits of light in this world. We are the vessels to bring light into this world because we are living in a kingdom of darkness. The first scripture I want to point to that will remind us of the dark world that we are living in is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. Next verse. You used to live in sin. How many of you guys used to live in sin? I've been there. Amen. We all used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. Say, in the unseen world. There is an unseen world. It is called the spiritual realm, and we are living in it. Amen? He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. We used to be in the kingdom of darkness. We used to be fighting for the enemy. We used to be in his army. If you were someone who used to not be saved, which is everyone, you used to be in the devil's army. But no, we're not that way anymore. We came into the kingdom of light, amen? All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Christian, you are not like everyone else anymore. You are a kingdom of light in the midst of a world of darkness. And if we forget that, we end up fighting the spiritual battle physically. We end up getting so worn out. I was thinking about how, like I said, there's lots of great things in the world, and sometimes we can get caught up in watching the Disney movies, we can get caught up in living our life, and we forget that there is a spiritual battle that we are supposed to be fighting on a daily. And I truly believe that this is the time where we see so much evil in the world. Can I get an amen? Because anyone say that there is evil in the world? If there's ever been evil in the world, it was during the times of Noah, and we're coming back around. Abortions are high, and we have deaths and injustice in the streets. We have people, family members, arguing and not talking for years because of political differences. We have racial tension in this country. We have political differences in this country. There is a spirit. If you do not tune in, you will miss it. Tune in to what the Spirit is saying. We need to get on our knees and be praying for this nation, because that is how we fight the battle. We do not fight the battle again. Well, we're going to go to our next. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and continue. It's really easy for us to get caught up in the physical with everything going on in this world. When you're scrolling through social media and you see injustice, when you're looking into your bank account and you see too many zeros and not the good kind of zeros because you haven't received your stimulus check, when you see death all around you, you guys, it's not normal to see the death rates that we see. It's not normal for us to have this many mass murders and killings. It is not normal, but has become normal to us in this society. It's like, oh, another school shooting, oh, another mass killing. It has become normal to us, and it is not normal. Christians, wake up. There is demonic forces going on in the world right now. There is so much demon activity, oppression, confusion, mental instability going on, and the only thing that is going to fix it is not taking away people's guns, and it's not going ahead and ranting ranting on Facebook. It's not ranting on Instagram. We need to get on our knees because we need a spiritual healing in our nation. We need a spiritual healing in our nation. The physical is just the tip of the iceberg of what is going on in the spiritual realm. Have you ever worn rose-colored glasses or glasses with a tint on it? It makes the world look very different than what it really is. We are living in a world where everyone is walking around with rose-colored glasses on. Oh, this is the new normal. This is okay. This is what it is. Take off the glasses, Christian, and see the world for what it is. We need prayer. We need a generation that will get on our knees and see and battle in the spiritual realm. And that's not just doing a dance. And that's not just doing a jig. It is taking off the glasses and seeing things in the spiritual realm and not only in the physical realm. Amen? I believe that we have become so carnal in the body of Christ that speaking on spiritual warfare seems taboo. We've become so carnal that when I even suggest to someone, you know, that says they're depressed, they're going through times of depression or they're anxious, if I even suggest to someone that could be a actual demonic oppression or it could actually be a spirit, I'm looked at like, what? What? You mean you don't want to just ram medication down my throat? What? And don't get me wrong, I do believe mental illness is a real thing, but I believe mental illness is a real thing in the mind that starts in the spirit, because there is spiritual oppression that the enemy wants to put on this generation. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. It says a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. The devil has strategies, people. The devil has strategies. He is not dumb. And I know in the body of Christ, especially in the Pentecostal church, it's like, the devil's a worm. The devil's a poo-poo head. The devil, he sucks. Yeah, I know. I've heard all those things. I know that the devil's under my feet. I know that I got authority over him. But I'm not going to be ignorant to Satan's devices. He has strategies. He wants to attack. He wants to break up family members in this church. He wants to put a spirit of division in families so that if you are a Christian and you cannot see that there is a spirit of division, open your spiritual eyes. There's division in politics. There's division in race. There has been a spirit of division that has been continuing to penetrate families as the divorce rate goes up. That is a spirit that the only thing, you cannot fight the physical. You cannot fight physical with physical. You actually have to go ahead and you need to say, okay, this is not just a physical problem that I see. There has to be more. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is a spiritual issue. Husbands, wives, you guys find each other. You don't know why you woke up in the morning and you just can't stand your spouse. You all of a sudden have thoughts of leaving. You're actually like, why in the world am I crying right now? I loved my spouse this last week and all of a sudden it feels like I have this stain against them. That is a spirit. And the only thing that you can do in order to pray against that is exactly that. Get on your knees and pray and say, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would put a spirit of love and peace back into my family, back into my relationship. I don't know why I don't love my spouse today, but love is not feelings. Love is an action. So I'm going to pray against any demonic attack from the enemy. Remember the movie War Room? I saw Christians who were making fun of that movie because that just seemed like a little bit crazy that she, if you guys haven't seen that movie, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I encourage that you watch it. It seemed a little bit crazy because this woman was talking to the devil and she was claiming authority and she said, in the name of Jesus, you will not have my family. You will not have my husband. You will not break us apart. And I saw Christians who were making fun of that. I'm telling you right now that it is our time to rise up as Christians and say, I'm going to take authority. I am going to realize the principalities of evil that is going on in this world. Let's continue. For we fight not against flesh and blood. Say that with me. We fight not against flesh and blood. One more time. We fight not against flesh and blood. We fight not against flesh and blood. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Amen. The unseen world. That is referring to the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. What you see when you take off your rose-colored glasses in the spirit. There's so many times when Jesus commanded for us to walk in the spirit. The Apostle Paul commanded that we walk in the spirit. Because he's telling us to be inclined to the spiritual realm more than we are the physical realm. Amen? There are authorities of the unseen world. What is that? Demons? Powers? Against mighty powers. Mighty powers. It doesn't say that they're weak powers. It says that these powers of evil are mighty. In the verse that we read before that, it said that in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says that the enemy uses sons of disobedience. He uses people. Because there are two kingdoms. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. I'm a spirit-filled woman of God, and I am almost intimidated sometimes when it comes to talking about stuff like this. Because so many people believe that this is fake, this is taboo, or this is something only Pentecostals talk about. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. This is real. This is not me making it up. I am not crazy. I am not New Age. I am reading from the Word of God. And if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a believer, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to know that Jesus says you need to walk in the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul writes that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but there are evil spirits in this world. And that the world is being run by a devil. A devil, a physical devil, an actual devil, a demon that is in our world. And then us as Christians, we look at everything in the physical. Oh, that girl's got something against me at work. Oh, my family is just falling apart. Oh, I don't know why that one person won't talk to me. Those are most likely demonic spirits at work. And you are not going to do anything by telling that person off. You need to get on your knees and you need to pray for them. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I battle this in the spiritual realm? Because I know that there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, God. How do I operate in the kingdom of light? And how do I pull them out of the kingdom of darkness? Amen? Okay, so I read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. I remember one time I was growing up in the youth group, and there was this one student, and he was a teenager, and he had special abilities. He was autistic, and Pastor Paul had just given a message, and he gave a message on how something similar to this, about how there's a real devil and there's a real enemy, and we fight against him in the spiritual. And I remember after that service, this student, he was getting kind of like in an argument with one of the leaders. He's like, "What, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Whoa, what's going on over there?" And because this was my friend, and I went over and I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And this student said, "Where is the devil? I want to punch him. I want to punch him. Where is he? Where is he?" And the leaders were trying to explain to him, like, "No, this is not a physical. You can't see him. He operates in the spirit." And obviously, he was having a hard time getting his mind around that. I think Christians have a hard time sometimes getting our mind around this, that we do not need to fight in the physical with people, because people are not your problem. People are just a conduit to what is going on in the spiritual realm. People are just vessels. You are a vessel. You are either a vessel of Jesus or you're a vessel of the enemy. You're either operating in the kingdom of light or operating in the kingdom of darkness. And yet we have Christians fighting with people who are not saved on Facebook, as if fighting them on Facebook is going to help anything. You're treating this battle in the physical. You think you're going to argue your way out of this problem. I don't fight on Facebook. I fight on my knees. I get on my knees and I pray for those people. And I ask the Holy Spirit, how can I fix these issues? Because we're not going to fix these issues by fighting online. We're going to fix these issues by realizing there's a spiritual realm we need to get on our knees. We need to pray for our nation. And we need to see the world in the spiritual and not just the physical. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the stronghold of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. One more verse. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede. You know what intercede means? It means to pray for that person the way that you wish that someone was praying for you. It is getting on your knees, getting on your face, and praying. You push and you say, God, I'm going to stay on my knees until I see something move in the spiritual. I'm going to pray for that person. And I'm not going to just do a little nice little prayer. God, I pray that you help that girl at work because she's really annoying. You get on your knees and you pray for them as if their soul depended on it. That's what it looks like to intercede for someone. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way. Oh, here we go. I'm going to offend some people here. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. Well, I don't like our president. Well, guess what? Scripture says and commands us to pray for our president. He doesn't say if you like your president, pray for him. It says to pray for him. And if you don't like our president, you should pray for him all the more because you believe he's messed up and he probably needs the Lord's help. I've only been old enough to understand politics the past two presidents. I don't know if you guys know this. The past two presidents are vastly different. Obama and Trump are vastly different. Guess what? I pray for them both equally and the same. I pray for them with the same passion and the same fervor and the same love because it doesn't matter whether I agree with them or not. I have been called to pray for kings. I've been called to pray for people in authority because when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back on a donkey and he's not coming back on an elephant. He's coming back on a horse with white robes and he is not going to ask you what political party you aligned with and if you prayed for that political party. He said to pray for everyone who is in positions of authority, whether you agree with them or not. Our rulers need help right now because of everything that is going on in our nation. And whether you support our president or not, if you care about America, you should be praying for him. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives, marked by godliness. Marked by godliness. I want to be a woman of God that is marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Isn't it interesting the way that it says that we're supposed to pray for everyone and then it says that God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to understand the truth. It almost gives an indication that we are going to show people the truth by loving, acting in godliness and dignity and getting on our knees. Not by arguing with them and not by telling them a piece of our mind. And this is so strong in my spirit, I believe, because I think that the Christian church has gotten away from this. We think we're going to argue our way people into salvation. We're going to debate people into salvation. We're going to eventually shove the truth down their throats. No, if you know that God wants them to be saved, it says his will right here in Scripture. God wants them to be saved. You want them to be saved? Okay, then follow the way of God to be able to get them saved. Get on your knees. Act in godliness and dignity. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. If you see things in the physical, then you're going to react in the physical. But if you see things through the eyes of the spiritual realm, you will react in the Spirit. When someone at your work has something against you and you can't really figure out why, it is not your job to go to that person and tell them off. It is your job to probably get alone on your lunch break, pray in the Spirit for a little bit, say, okay, God, I don't know what this person has against me, but I know that they are just a vessel. They're just a vessel. They're lost in darkness. How can I show light to them in the name of Jesus? And yeah, I think you might be surprised when he tells you to get them a $10 Starbucks gift card. Not tell them off, not write them up, but act in godliness and dignity towards them. And if they don't respond in godliness and dignity towards you back, then that's not your problem. Because you're part of the kingdom of light. You don't operate in darkness. It's not your job to please them. It's not your job. It makes me think of a story of Marilyn who just passed away. Marilyn and my mom were best friends. And they became best friends because my mom started dating my dad and she started going to the same church as my dad. And Marilyn was at that church. And my mom didn't really know Marilyn, but the way that both, I believe, my mom and Marilyn tell the story is that they didn't really like each other. My mom thought Marilyn had an attitude. Marilyn thought my mom had an attitude. They didn't like each other at all. And my mom had every, I guess as a baby Christian, had every right to just blow Marilyn off and say, well, if she doesn't like me, then oh well. No, she actually didn't have that right because Jesus was her Savior at that point. And Jesus called her to act in godliness and dignity. If you have one thing to take away from this sermon, take that. Operate in the Spirit through godliness and dignity. So my mom went up to Marilyn, not really sure what her problem is, not really sure what her problem was, and said, hey, do you want to go to lunch? And smiled at her. And Marilyn was kind of like, well, okay. And Marilyn ended up being my mom's maid of honor at her wedding. But what if she didn't act in godliness and dignity? What if she just let that bitterness fester inside of her? What if she just said, you know what, whatever. We are called to look at things in the spiritual realm and realize that that is the enemy trying to squeeze division in between what could have been a beautiful friendship. Marilyn ended up being the closest aunt I have. And she ended up taking me on tons of school trips. She ended up being the closest aunt to me. And I would have missed out on that relationship. Because the enemy was trying to put division between them. I believe that the enemy is trying to put division amongst even fellow people in the body of Christ. I don't know why she looked at me that way. I don't know why he looked at me that way. I don't know what pastor's problem is. I don't know why he didn't reply to me fast enough. Blah, 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 blah. And as a mature Christian, you are called to see that for what it is, which is a spiritual attack of division that is trying to come against you. And if you call it out and respond properly, then there can be healing. But if you let that simmer in your spirit and you do not address it, then it will destroy your relationships. It will destroy your relationships. Let's go to the rest of the Ephesians scripture, guys. Ephesians chapter 6. Can you go to the verse right before? Before that, thank you. Before that, one more. Thank you. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Are we or are we not in a time of evil right now? Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Can you guys go back to that? I love how it says, then after the battle. That is God saying, I believe that you can make it through the battle. I believe you are going to be standing firm after the battle. If we as Christians refuse to accept the reality that we are in a battle right now in the spirit, and that there is war raging in the spiritual realm, you will end up getting your butt kicked by the enemy. You wonder why you are crying recently and you can't figure out why. You wonder why you're going to bed so anxious and you're not really 100% sure why. You wonder what is happening to the relationships around you. You're not, like I said, mentioned earlier, you're not really sure why you have disdain for your wife, for your kids. You're not really sure why you feel dreary when you go to work. You're not 100% understanding of why you don't feel like going to church all of a sudden, why mentally you can't think straight, everything seems cloudy around you. Wake up, Christian. There's a spiritual battle going on. When was the last time you prayed in tongues? When was the last time you interceded for unity in our country, in our church? When was the last time you prayed for your pastors? Because your pastors are under demonic attack probably more than ever right now. It's never been harder for me to write a sermon than ever before in my life, because I've just found that my mind has been so clouded. But I refuse to not see that for what it is. It is a spiritual attack against me. It's not just me. It's not just Shayla. It is a spiritual attack against me. Wake up, Christian. We're in a spiritual battle, and it is a time of warfare, which is not a drumbeat worship song. It is the way you view the world and the way you react. What makes you a spiritual person is not how long you've called yourself a Christian, how often you attend church, how many pieces of cross jewelry you have. That does not make you spiritual. How many classes of Academy of Righteousness you've attended. None of those things makes you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is being able to tune and tap in to the spiritual realm, being able to be led by a spiritual being who is the Holy Spirit. That is what makes you spiritual. That is what makes you spiritual. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. The time of evil is coming. The time of evil is here. Then, after the battle, because God believes that you can withstand the battle, you will be standing firm. Next verse. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. I want to pause there. We are living in the world where truth is relative. I have my truth, you have your truth, and your truth is good for you, and my truth is good for me, and the truth is changing all the time. Isn't it so crazy and so funny that the world is constantly changing the perspective of truth? You know, 10 years ago, there was this truth that I can choose who I love, and my sexuality defines who I am, and I'm gay, and that it defines who I am, and that was what the world was saying is truth. And now, 10 years later, the truth has changed, and now there isn't just two genders. Now there's thousands of genders, and I'm getting unpolitically correct right now. Now there's thousands of genders. The world will change its truth every 10 to 15 years. Truth is constantly evolving. Truth is constantly changing. And now the truth is contradicting itself. This is big on Facebook right now because J.K. Rowling, the one who wrote the Harry Potter series, she was talking about how I believe that there's a man and there's woman, and being a woman really defines who I am. So who are you to say that there is no such thing as a woman? Because I could be a woman if I feel like it, even though I have the genitalia of a man. So truth is so confusing in the world that they can't even decide what they choose to call truth anymore. And they're arguing and they're debating what they see as truth. But Christians, we have a defining factor of truth. It is God's word. God's word is what defines truth for us. Not our feelings, not what changes, not how people come out in the next 10 years and what they choose to evolve it as. It is God's word, and that is our truth. And that is what girds us and belts us together. The truth, if I was wearing a full armor of God, if I was wearing military armor and I didn't have a belt to keep my pants on, I would look like a fool. And that is just so strategic that God says truth is going to what is going to uphold you, is what is going to hold you together, is God's word, God's truth. Stand your ground, put on the truth of the body armor of God's righteousness. Next verse. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. Next verse. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Stop. Go back. In addition to these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. The devil is throwing fiery arrows at the body of Christ. He is throwing fiery arrows at your family. He is throwing fiery arrows into your life. And the only thing that is going to quench those fiery arrows is when you hold up your shield of faith. Hold up your faith. It is what is going to gird you and is what is going to protect you when the enemy decides to throw those fiery arrows at you. And back in the evil times of war back then, what they did was they would take the arrows and they would put it in some sort of lighter fluid. I don't know what they used back then, but they used some sort of liquid that would set the arrows on fire. And they would light them on fire and they would fling them into the air. And when those fiery arrows went into the air, if you had some sort of shield that was made of wood, it would cause your shield to be lit on fire. Which, how many of you guys know that's not a very good shield when your shield is on fire? So what they had to do is they had to drench their shields in water so that when the fire arrows came, the water would quench them. The water would quench them. Are you drinking the rivers of living water to be able to quench the arrows when they come towards you? Let's continue. Put on the salvation of your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. A man of God said that prayer is not supposed to be your spare tire. Prayer is supposed to be your steering wheel. Prayer is not supposed to be something that is your last resort. It is supposed to be your first response. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I pray that our church, Hope Community Church, is a body of Christians that knows how to put on the full armor of God, and that you are constantly putting on the full armor of God because you are aware that we are in a spiritual battle. You are not ignorant to Satan's devices. You are aware that there is a kingdom of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. And you are aware of everything going on in the spiritual realm. You've taken off the rose-colored glasses. You see what's going on in our nation. You see what's going on in our church. And you want to stand firm so that you are ready for the battle. Amen. I want to pray over every single person watching. And I just believe that we are going to not do a couple of things. One, we're going to pray against any demonic attack in your household, what is going on in your household. We're going to pray against that. We're going to pray against the spirit of division in our nation. We're going to pray for unity. We're going to pray against the attack of mental illness on our nation, because I believe that is a huge attack that is affecting our generation. And we're going to pray for the spiritual intercessors, the spiritual battlers to arise, and that we would see people beginning to function and operate in the spiritual realm. Amen. God, we come to you not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know we are living in an evil day. We know that Satan is the ruler of this world. But your word says that we are called to pray, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, God. So we pray in the name of Jesus that your will would be done through us, through your vessels, God. You have called us to wage war. You have called us to see things in the spirit, God. You have called us to see things the way that you see them in the heavenlies, God. And I pray that you would rise up men and women of God who see things without the rose-colored glasses. They see what the enemy is trying to do in their family. They see what the enemy is trying to do in America. They see what the enemy is trying to do in the world, God. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to wage good spiritual warfare, Jesus. Help us, God, to be children of light that are aware who we are and what we are called to do in the name of Jesus. Who we are and what we are called to do. We are called to live in godliness and dignity. We are called to pray in the Spirit. We are called to be led by the Spirit. We are called to walk in the Spirit. We are called to get on our knees. We are called to wage good warfare, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that every single person watching, young and old, God, would operate in the things of the Spirit, would be aware of the spiritual realm, God, that you would open their eyes like Paul with the scales that fell off, and all of a sudden he knew Jesus was Lord, that the scales would fall off of our eyes, our carnality would fall off of our eyes, and we would see the spiritual realm that is going on around us. We would see things for the way that they are and not the way that the rose-colored glasses have made it appear to be, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that there would just be men and women of God who would teach the younger generation how to wage good warfare, God. I pray that over this church. And now I pray, God, for every single person watching who is facing some sort of spiritual oppression, God, whether it be a mental illness, whether it be a spirit of division in their family, or whether it be some sort of argumentative spirit that stirs up in them, whether it be a spirit of lust or a spirit of Jezebel, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we break those spirits off, God. We plead the blood. The word says that we are supposed to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Your word says when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, oh, we're trying to cast out this demon as nothing is happening, he said some of these things only come out through prayer and fasting. So we pray, and if we need to, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us to fast, to break these things off of us, to break off the demonic, to break off any oppression, God, in the name of Jesus. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear what is truly going on in the spiritual realm, God. I specifically pray for anyone who is going through a mental disorder, God, that any spirit that is oppressing people with anxiety, with depression, with bipolar, with ADHD, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing. I speak healing. I speak truth. I speak in the name of Jesus. I speak sozo, wholeness over them, wholeness over their mind. If that's you, put your hand on your head right now, and I speak wholeness over your mind in the name of Jesus. I wish I was here to lay off my hands on you. I'm not there with you. So you got to take your hand and hold it on your head and say, in the name of Jesus, any anxiety, any weariness, any sleep depravity, sleep somnia, in the name of Jesus, be broken off in the name of Jesus. We speak healing. We speak peace. Your word says that you are the Prince of Peace. Your word says that the Holy Spirit would give us peace, God. So I speak that the Holy Spirit would be stronger anger and would break off any demonic spirit that is torturing their mind right now in the name of Jesus. I just speak that tonight would be the best night of sleep, God, for those people. God, I want to pray over families, God, that have evil going on in their households. Demonic, your word says, spirits of darkness. God, I pray that you would mend families. I come against the spirit of divorce and the spirit against the spirit of division, God, in families. I pray, God, that we would have a church with the lowest divorce rate in our area, God, because we see things in the spiritual. We see things in the spiritual, not the physical. I pray, God, against the spirit of fatherlessness in our nation, God. Fatherlessness be gone in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Jesus, you would just help us as women of God to come alongside the men of God, and we would strengthen families again in our nation, God. Strengthen families again. I come against any lie and attack of the enemy that says that you're not called to your family. You are called to your family in the name of Jesus. I come against a spirit of lust that has tried to infiltrate the church. The spirit of lust that tells us that we need more, that I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm not satisfied with my wife. I'm not satisfied with my income. That spirit of discontentment in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone right now in the comments where you want me to pray for something specifically, let me know. I want to pray for that with you. Sorry I didn't prepare you guys for that, but I do want to pray for anyone who you feel like there's a specific attack against you. I want to pray. And if there's no one, it's okay. But I at least want to give people the opportunity to respond if you want prayer for something very specifically. Until those come in, I'm just going to keep praying for our nation. God, I pray that you would heal America, God. I pray that you would heal brokenness and racial tension, God. I pray, God, that you would just help us to come back to the heart of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for our leaders in our nation, God. I pray that you would, we lift up our leaders to you, Democrat or Republican or any party in between. We lift them up and we say, God, may they fall to their knees and may they come to the knowledge of you, God. May they not have a false, like just this false, oh, I'm a Christian label because they want more votes. I pray that they would actually know you, Jesus, that our politicians would know you. Your word says that when the wicked rule the land, the people suffer. So we pray righteousness, God, into our political parties, God. We pray righteousness into our land, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just help lead our president, that you would put people around him who are going to strengthen him, God, and give him sound and godly advice, God. I pray for Christian advisors all around him in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for I want to pray for the church, God. I pray for the bride of Christ to come back into relationship with you and out of a religious demonic spirit of false Christianity, of a fake Pharisee, God.
I pray that America would come back into relationship with you and that we would grow weary of religion, God. And that America would come back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that we would get sick of the false religious labels. That we would fall deeply in love with you. I pray that America would come back to you as a godly nation, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that America will be a Christian nation again, God. I thank you for that. Is there anyone who wants specific prayer? If not, I'm going to close the service. A lot of people. Oh, shout me down then. Yeah, thank you. I don't care if it's awkward right now. I really don't. I care more about praying for people than the awkward silence right now. Okay, God. I'm going to go ahead and pray for all of these down the list. I pray for every single person with any type of physical infirmity, God. We pray in the name of Jesus there would be healing over them. In the name of Jesus, God, I plead the blood of Jesus for physical healing from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. We ask you, God, to heal them. We ask you, God, for any infirmity, any illness, God, any pain in their bodies. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, God, to be their healer. We ask you, God, we ask you, God, for their healing. In the name of Jesus, we speak wholeness over them, God. I also pray that for unemployment, God, I pray that you would ordain the steps of every single person who is looking for a job. They wouldn't just get some kind of mere, you know, barely sufficient job, but that you would give them a better job than they had before, God. That is what I'm asking for you. Your word says in Proverbs that I've never seen the righteous go poor, the righteous go hungry. So I pray that the righteous people in this church would find a job where you're going to provide for them. We remind you of your word that says that if we seek your kingdom first, everything else will follow. Our food, our income, the clothes on our back, God. So I just speak to that person who's unemployed, and I just remind you of what scripture says, which is that if you seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness, that everything else will follow. Don't worry about it. Give it to God, and he's going to provide you with a job, because his word speaks truth, and he is not a liar. He is going to provide for you in the name of Jesus. Unity in the family. Yes, I feel this one. In the name of Jesus, I pray for unity in families, that there would not be discontentment between teenagers and with adults. There wouldn't be discontentment between young kids and the older kids, God. I pray for unity, that you are just taking like a sewing needle and sewing them together, like a tight-knit family, God. I pray that Hope Community will have tight-knit families in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for tight-knit marriages in the name of Jesus, God. I pray against that spirit of division that is trying to come against married couples, God. I pray that they will wake up with love in their heart for their spouse, love in their heart for their spouse, God. I pray against the attack of the enemy that is trying to destroy the family unit. If you are a Christian and you cannot see that attack, you need to open your spiritual eyes. There is an attack on the family unit. There is an attack on fathers. There is an attack on teenagers, trying to get them to pull away from their parents, trying to get spouses to hate each other. There is an attack on this family unit. And I say in the name of Jesus, for the righteous ones, they will be a tight-knit family in the name of Jesus. I pray against the spirit of anxiety, God. I pray supernatural peace over the people's minds, God, that you were not anxious for anything. Your word says that we should not be anxious. Do not worry for anything. For the same God who clothes the lilies and who takes care of the birds, he is going to take care of you, God. So I just speak that word over us, that we would remember that you are going to take care of us, God, for a job and for blessing it. I pray, God, that there would be people that you are going to help them sustain their jobs, God, and that you are going to help bless them in their jobs, God, that they would get supernatural raises out of nowhere, God, that you would reward those who are diligent tithers, God. And I pray, God, for the person who is asking for their brother who is in the streets, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw him back to his family, draw him back to Jesus Christ, God, even if he never knew you. I pray that he would know you in a way that he's never known you before, God. God. I pray that he would come back to you in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, intercede for this man the way if he was your brother. If this was your brother on the streets, how would you pray for him? God, I pray for this person who is on the streets right now, that he would know you in a way, that he would, that his heart would be softened towards you, softened towards his family, and that he would hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that you would draw him back to his first love in Jesus' name. All right. Like I said, I care more about praying for people than I do awkward silence, so just give me a second. Someone is asking for their daughter and son and for their grandkids. God, I just pray for this woman's grandkids and this woman's daughter and son. I don't know what's going on with their situation, but you do, Jesus. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring restoration, God, to those relationships, and that you, I don't know what's going on, but you do, God. So I pray that you would bring healing and restoration to this daughter's grandson, her son, and her grandkids in the name of Jesus. All right. I think that's it. Correct? Am I missing anyone? Okay, you're sending me some more. Great. Maybe I should just go on Facebook. Oh yeah, here's some good ones. I'm going to ask for, God, we pray for the healing of Josh's tooth, God. Josh, if you could just put your hand on your tooth, and we speak healing supernaturally, God, that you would relieve you would relieve the stress of that tooth in the name of Jesus. We speak wholeness and healing, and we ask God for complete healing over Josh's tooth. We also pray for this person's older brother, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that he would know you in a radical way, that he would fall in love with you, Jesus. Fall in love with you the way that we have fallen in love with you. I pray that this person would fall in love with you and that he would be at church with his family, God. We ask for him to come back to you in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for Granny that she would be restored in her breathing, God, in her lungs. Breathe life back into her lungs, God. Breathe life back into her heart, God. We ask for her healing. We ask for the strength of Pastor Tamara in the name of Jesus, that you would give her the supernatural strength by your Holy Spirit. Your word says that in our weaknesses we are made strong, God, so that you are made strong. So I pray, God, that you would just help her in any area of weakness that she's going through right now, that you would comfort her and that you would be her rock and her strength, God, in the middle of this time, mentally, physically, emotionally, God. I pray for the healing of Isaiah's insomnia, God. I pray that in the name of Jesus, insomnia go. In the name of Jesus, insomnia go. Any spirit of insomnia, you must leave in the name of Jesus. We say you have no place in Isaiah's body in the name of Jesus. We have a healing for another grandma in the name of Jesus. I speak over this grandmother that she would be healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, God. In the name of Jesus. All right, so far I think we're good. Yes, God, we pray for Mike, who's getting heart surgery tomorrow, God. God, I pray that you would lead the doctor's hands, God. You would give them wisdom by your Holy Spirit, God. And that you would lead them, and I pray for a quick recovery with no infection in the name of Jesus. No infection in the name of Jesus. Alrighty. I say one more prayer, I think I missed. Work that honors God. God, I pray that you would empower Joaquin to give work that is honoring to you in the name of Jesus, that you would use him as a vessel of light, and that everywhere that he goes, that you would use him, God, to radiate Jesus Christ. Your word says that we are supposed to work unto the Lord, not unto man. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be a reminder to Joaquin that he is working unto you, working unto the Holy Spirit, and not to man and not for a paycheck, but unto you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yes. Is your what's your mom's name? I'm white. There's no way I'm going to say that name. So I'm just going to say Carlos's mom's. God, I pray for Carlos's mom. I pray for Carlos even, God, that you would give him the supernatural strength to radiate Jesus to his family, God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing into his mom, God. Healing unto his mom. that his mom would fall more in love with you than ever before because she sees the love of Jesus Christ in her son. And I pray, God, for healing, for supernatural strength over her body, strength over her body, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Give me a second. I just want to make sure we didn't miss anyone. This is spiritual warfare, guys. Like I said, I care more about people than the awkward silence right now. So just if you give it to me, just one moment. Pray for Steve, pain in his body. God, I pray over Steve. Pray for supernatural healing. And I pray for the salvation of Donna's family members, God. We pray and we intercede for them. Your word says that we're supposed to intercede for these people, intercede for the lost, because your word says that it is your will for them to be saved, God. So we intercede and we call them into the family of Christ. We call them back into their family, back into their first love, God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that they will be here with Donna and they will be praising you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for them. We ask for the Holy Spirit to do what you do, God. Holy Spirit, you are the convictor. We pray that you convict their hearts, God. Convict their hearts back to you, that they would fall more in love with you than they are with the world, God, and that they would be reminded of how good you are. You are a good father, and you long for them to be back into the body of Christ, God. So I pray for them to be back with you in Jesus' name. Lots of broken families. I knew I was preaching on this for a reason. Broken families, man. Pray, God, that you would restore broken families. Okay. Alrighty. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. We thank you, God, that you are opening our eyes to the battle that is before us, and that we are going to move forward stronger from this moment on. Just like I opened up the service, I said, if you're not mature, you're going to get a little more mature today, God. I thank you that you are growing us up. You're giving us a slap on the back and a hug all at the same time and saying, come on, you're in a war. You're in a battle. You can do this. See things the way that I've called you to see them, God. Thank you for the reminder to us by your Holy Spirit that we are in the kingdom of light. So start acting like it and stop being part of the darkness. Start fighting for the light, God. Thank you, Jesus. God, and then we want to end this service by just praying that your will be done here at this church as it is in heaven. Here in the earth as it is in heaven. And use us as your vessels to bring forth your kingdom, Jesus. Even though this world is being controlled by principalities of darkness and of the evil one, you have put us here for a reason. And we remember that. We align ourselves with our calling and with our purpose, God, for this battle. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I told you guys I had a powerful message. Maybe next time I'll preach on love and puppies. But for this time of evil, I really felt like this was something we needed to be reminded of, because I get caught up in it all the time. You know, I get caught up in my life, in my Starbucks, in my car, in my dog, and in me, in my life, in my physical life, and sometimes I forget about the spiritual battle that is going on all around me. So I didn't want to have another week go by that we didn't talk about it, we're not reminded of it. In Jesus' name, amen.